Welcome to the Northern Affinity Video Podcast. During this session, we will be having an unedited discussion with an expert. And what I'll be planning to do is, during our discussion, get them to teach me something. Teach me about something that's of interest, but also they are an expert in. I'm Michael Edwards, and I'm the founder of the Northern Affinity. And I will tap into our wonderful community to bring you along on my drive for self-improvement and my desire to learn. So please connect with me on various social media platforms, whether it's LinkedIn or Instagram or Twitter. And I'd love to hear from you what subjects you'd like to learn more about, or what subjects you think it'd be good for me to learn about. So please, you know, get in contact and let me know. All the details will be in the show notes, and you can send me an email or contact me via the various platforms. I really hope you enjoy the show. So welcome to the latest episode of the Northern Affinity Podcast. I'm delighted to be joined by James Hall. So welcome to the podcast, James.
Thank you for having me, Michael.
No worries at all. And today we're gonna talk about a subject that's kind of very close to my heart, I think. And I suffer with this. I'm sure a lot of people do as well at a certain time. So we are going to talk about overwhelm and kind of, I guess, what it is, but also more importantly, how we can help with that today. But before we kind of go into that, James, you want to kind of just quickly introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about you, and then we'll go into that.
Absolutely, happy to. Yeah, I'm James Hall. I coach people. I try and help them with things like overwhelm. I've been coaching as a business now for 3 years, but I've been actually actively coaching since 2013, having either had a coach or a mentor myself since 2011. So hopefully I'll be able to add some nuggets today and help you and your audience out.
Hope so. Like I said, I think, you know, the premise of this podcast is very much about, you know, you as a guest teaching me something, and hopefully obviously then the listener and the viewers to also learn something. And it might be something different from me, obviously. But I think it's very relevant. It feels really relevant for me today because this subject, like I said earlier, close to my heart. So I thought I'd start by kind of maybe explaining what I think overwhelm is, and then maybe you can tell me if I'm right, if I'm wrong, what the difference is and all that kind of stuff. And I guess how I experience it.
There'll be no right or wrong. It's just people feel it differently. So we'll see if you where you are, and then maybe add a few extra bits in.
Of course. For me, the overwhelm is that feeling on a maybe a Monday morning or any, quite frankly, any day of the week, that you start your working day and you've got this long list of things to do, this long list of tasks. And it might be all just there is a list. It might be events and various things, whatever it is. Or it might be personal things. It might be work things. Probably a combination of them all as well. And it gets to a point where you're almost paralyzed by that in terms of not doing anything because you've got so much to do. And you kind of spend your time trying to almost work out what to do first, or what's the best thing to do and how to do it. How can I do it as quickly as possible? Feel like I ain't got enough time to do it, and then not actually do it. So it's always the same. Does that make sense?
Makes a lot of sense. And yeah, I think we all suffer from it at different times, and whether it's more or it's less, but I think we all get overwhelmed at times. And I think there's an element of that feeling which we have. I mean, one of the things when I did NLP a few years ago, it talks about start recognizing the feeling. So I tend to feel it in my shoulders. And so it's like, if you start feeling it in a particular part of your body, it's like a signal that the sense of overwhelm's coming. Overwhelm can be absolutely anything. It can also lead to fear as well. But it is that feeling for me where things start to get on top of me. It's like putting bricks on your shoulders and it's getting you down a little bit. So it's as much of a feeling as an activity, but it's therefore how do we overcome that feeling and what do we do to try and make a positive difference to it? And you know, everything you described there, I'm sort of nodding my head because I felt it myself at times. And when I talk to my clients, quite often they come on, they go, James, I'm feeling stressed. I'm feeling overwhelmed. There's too much. I just need some help. And it's like a pressure cooker. And we almost need to take the lid off the pressure cooker and just calm things down. And therefore, the first thing I often say is, we used to say this in sales when I first started as a sales rep 25 years ago. If you're starting to feel overwhelmed and you've done like six shops in a row and you've not sold to anybody, go and take a break. go and buy a cup of coffee, just go in, and this is 25 years ago, so we didn't have some of the stuff which we have today to sort of distract us, but just go to a different environment. And I think that's really, really important. Sort of take a deep breath, and you know, there's breathing exercises you can do. But if you don't want to get into the meditation type thing, but just a simple deep breath in through your nose and out through your mouth. And I read a book last year about how many of us under pressure actually start breathing wrong. And it's a great first question is, where do you breathe through? Do you breathe through your nose or do you breathe through your mouth? And quite regularly, we end up going to our mouth. But the better form of breathing is through our nose. So just take some deep breaths, but maybe just change the environment. Just like if you're in the room which we're in now, just go to a different room. Personally, I like to get outside. So if I'm really feeling overwhelmed, I'll just get outside, even if it's for 10 minutes. Just, and it might just be sitting in the garden in the summer. Obviously, we're recording this in the winter, so it's not as easy to sit outside. But maybe just 10 minutes outside, go for a walk or whatever. But just getting that change, because we're just trying to lift the lid off, like the pressure cooker, and just de-stress. So if I'm feeling it in my shoulders, and if you think, Mike, where do you feel it when you're under that overwhelm?
So I think for me, it's like it's more like the chest, actually. The chest. I think it's like I was just about to ask this really about, you know, there's overwhelm, there's stress, there's anxiety, which are all three words which I think they're, I don't know if they're the same thing as such, but they feel very similar, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you feel it in your chest, that's a really important thing. So you recognize when that feeling in your chest starts to come, that's like a red flag sort of thing for yourself. When you're feeling absolutely on it, you know, when you're absolutely buzzing, you know, that amazing day, everything's going right, you are on fire. Where do you feel that?
Ooh, I don't know, to be honest.
The next time you're actually having one of them fantastic days, just spot how it's making you feel. So I tend to feel reversed. So for me, it's the shoulders when I'm feeling a bit anxious or stressed or overwhelmed, and I feel it in my tummy when things are going well. It's like, yeah, this is going well today. And you start to get a little bit of tingling almost down your arms as well. It's like, yeah, this is going well. Not a dangerous tingling like a heart attack or anything, but a positive, like things are going well today. And then the adrenaline just starts to buzz. It's a different adrenaline. But it's just a really difficult situation to be in, because once you start feeling that overwhelmed, every small thing, and it's, what do they say, the straw that broke the camel's back type thing,
yeah.
It is that one thing. So as well as you've got your to-do lists, one of the good things is to have a not-to-do list. So it's like almost like a case of, like, everything on this list, how much of it's really important? Have you come across Eisenhower's Matrix before? Have you heard of that?
No, I haven't.
They're very simple. Google Eisenhower's Matrix, and after you've heard me today, you can check whether I knew it, or equally, there's some great tips in there. So Eisenhower's Matrix is four simple, but it's a box broken into four. And what we tend to do is we tend to go either urgent, important, delegate, or delete. So if you think it through, you're looking at your to-do list, and what jumps out of you on that Monday morning when you're starting to feel overwhelmed? If anything does jump out at all, what tends to be the thing that jumps out?
It's generally the task you don't want to do, or might take the longest, or the difficult, or you don't know what to do with it type thing. The complex, I guess, that's often the one.
It's the one that keeps moving down the list.
Yeah, well, yeah. So you create an excuse to do something else.
Yeah. But eventually it becomes urgent, doesn't it? It's got to be done.
Yeah.
So what we end up doing is, in the box which is urgent, the stuff that goes in there isn't necessarily the most important, but because you've kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off, it's now urgent. The deadline's tonight at 4 o'clock and it's 9 o'clock in the morning. My shoulders are gone. Your stomach's in knots and we're in a bit of a mess. Yeah.
Yeah, well, and probably a great example was, we're recording this on the 30th of January, end of the tax year, is so that would be a great example, wouldn't it, of something that is important and has always been important but not urgent, but all of a sudden there'll be people right now, today and tomorrow, getting anxious and feeling overwhelmed with that.
Yes. Yeah. So putting your stuff into these boxes is quite important, because if you look at something like important, so what's important is personal development. What's important is listening to your podcast. So what is important is people have best intentions, they're going to do it. And then they keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. And then it's like, I really wanted to listen to that episode and I'm meeting that person tomorrow. And therefore, urgently, I listen to the last thing. If it's important to do your tax returns, and we all know our tax returns could be done from April, May, June, I think. I don't know because I don't do it that early. But we could make it important and do it by September or October or November or whenever that would be. So making things important to us is important. So if you think about what's important, and I'll come back to a couple of tips I've got on that in a bit. The next bit is this delegate bit. So what is it? And if you turn your world into pounds per hour just for a minute, let's just say, for example, you charge £50 an hour and there's a task here that you could delegate to somebody for £20 an hour. They're an expert at it and you're not. You actually don't enjoy doing it, but you feel you must have control. Do you do it or do you delegate it?
Yeah, and that's, and I have to, I'd say one of the things that I've got better at in the last probably 6 months in that example is delegated. So I outsource some of the admin related tasks now in the business, which I didn't before, and I have to admit, I hated doing them. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those, it takes longer to explain it the first time than it does to do it. But once you've done it, and especially if it's a repeatable task, it feels good.
Yes.
To know somebody else is dealing with it.
It's brilliant. When I was young, my dad said to me, and this is showing at my age, the Yellow Pages, son, is there for a reason. There are people who are experts at what they do, and you're not an expert at it. So why waste hours of your time doing something, A, you don't enjoy, B, you're not very good at it, when somebody else can come and do it, not have to repair your mess and do it first time really, really well. So I am rubbish at DIY. I've never professed to be at it and I don't like doing it. So if you're a DIY person, you're listening to this, give me a shout. But there's always a job at our house to be done. My list is long, but I always look to see about how I can offset some of it. But no, I have a VA doing some work for me every month. She's worth her weight in gold because I could spend hours and hours doing what she does in minutes. So one of the things there with Eisenhower's matrix, we've looked at important, we've looked at urgent, looking at delegate. There's also stuff about delete. What is the stuff that we waste our time and do? And I know when I get tired and I get overwhelmed sometimes, I have a great use of an hour of my time. It's called Sky Sports. And I just look at the news. I just read through. I can read articles about all sorts, about stuff which really doesn't interest me, but I can waste an hour very quickly. So there's that delete stuff. So when you're looking at that to-do list of yours, there's some stuff on there which you could probably think, well, actually, I can delegate that out. And I can delete maybe some of these bits, because realistically, if they don't get done, is it really a disaster? So some bits you can delete, and we have to be harsh, and we have to be like we do with the spring cleaner every year when we throw stuff out. I'm a hoarder, so delete is quite hard for me. But delete, delegate, the stuff that's important, do it early. And another phrase I got years ago was go on the bee of the bang. And this was it. Some of these are sales tactics, but they work really well in coaching. People will procrastinate at the start of the target. So we might have a 4-week target. They won't go on day one. They'll wait a little bit. They get going on day two or three, but now they're behind the curve. So if you go on the B or the bang, then you've got the whole race to run. If you go on the A, the N or the G, you're always playing catch up. So make those things that are really important to you important, pull them out and make some time. If you want some stuff on time and habits and habit stacking, there's a whole conversation. I know you've done speeches on those before. But, look at the important stuff. Look at the urgent stuff. And if it's urgent today, what could you have done yesterday or last week by not letting it become urgent? And if you haven't done your tax return on the 30th of January this year, it's an overwhelm. It's a stress. But maybe the lesson to learn for next year is do it a little bit early. And I was talking to some people last week who'd spent 3 or 4 hours twice trying to get through to HMRC, then got cut off. So the stress levels are going through the roof because HMRC are overfilled with calls at the moment. The other thing to do is get a different perspective. We're all very good at having a running commentary, and quite often the running commentary is that of negative. So it'd be like, looking at yourself on the video today, and am I looking at the camera or wherever, and it'd be like, did I do this, did I do that? And we'll all be self-critical of it, because we have that little voice of doubt in our heads. So actually standing back and getting a different perspective from somebody else. I used to ask my mum, but my mum would always tell me I was great. So she's not the best person to help me. So a plug for all coaches out there, whether it be a coach or a mentoring group or an accountability group or wherever it would be, wherever you feel comfortable in, go to that person, because it isn't your mum telling you how great you are or your wife telling you how great you are. It's somebody who's impartial. And when they say you're great, you will actually believe them. Because like when you get McDonald's years ago and you say, have a nice day. Yeah, it just became a noise, didn't it? It didn't actually mean have a nice day. So it's that, have that person there who you can go to and offer a perspective. And quite regularly, I'll be talking to somebody who can, I'm having a rubbish week. I'm having a really terrible week. But they've told me in the previous 20 minutes, all the things that they've done. And all I'll do is just repeat back to them. Let me just go back. You've said A, B, C, and D. Is that a terrible week? And then you see the light bulb moment come on, and there's like a breath, and they take a pause and they go, I forgot about that. And there's like a seesaw. It's like we had our worst critic, but we don't level it up with being our best fan. So if you do something slightly wrong, so maybe I'm not looking at the camera when I look back on this, or spoke too fast, or didn't have the right lighting. But if you're going to beat yourself up at that level, give yourself the same level of credit. So each thing gets measured the same. So don't give that a minus 10 points for the negative, but a 1 point for the positive. Give both the same score. So that would be some quick tips for me in terms of where I would go in terms of where the overwhelm is. But it's that recognition, that feeling, the red flag, pull back, change the environment, and maybe some of the practical tips are the no list. So the to-do list, delegate it into four sections and see where you can get some support with that. Does that make sense?
It certainly does. And you've covered a lot of areas that really resonate with myself. I mean, one thing I know I do, so as you know, I'm hosting events, and especially the co-working days, often when I'm at those days, I barely open my laptop. My days chatting to people, and often I'll get home and I'll get asked, you know, how was your day? And I'll say something along the lines of, really enjoyable, didn't get anything done. Well, yeah. What I mean by that is I didn't tick anything off my to-do list or reply to any emails. But what I did have is 6, 7, 8, 9 conversations with people I haven't met before, or catching up, really good conversations with them. Whilst it might not be something on my to-do list, it's a really good day. And it's something I'm trying to tell myself that, you know, that's actually my job. And that's what I should be doing more of. But I know, and it's really interesting. I've kind of identified that quite recently. So I can totally kind of see that you kind of reframing your activity and what you're doing. One thing you said right at the start, when you mentioned that about, you talked about, you know, this happening 20, 25 years ago and things like that. I was going to ask a question about, kind of, I guess, modern society and how overwhelming are we more overwhelmed, do you think? Because I mean, you touched on there, you can go on your phone and look at Sky Sports News. I'm the same. I'll get distracted by that. You can go and scroll through Instagram, Twitter. You can, everywhere you go, you can look at your email. So you sat on a train for an hour. You can go onto your CRM. You can go to your work emails. You'll get an email of something that you can't do on the train. Is that, do you think that's more of a thing? I believe it is. But
I believe it is. Yeah. I mean, I'm an old man now, so I've sort of seen the world change a lot. And you think, when we used to sit and maybe read a book on a train because you didn't have a phone, or you'd read the newspaper, or you talk to the guy next to you who's now got his headphones on and he's reading his phone. So I think it is. And I think this is a bit about stepping back and just taking a breath and just changing the environment. And you know, I read a post last week about somebody put, he was working away, and do you work more when you work away? My full-time job takes me all over the UK and Ireland. And I know for a fact that in years gone by, I will do the day job during the day. Then I'll come home and I'll come to the hotel. I'll do emails all night till late in the evening because I've got nothing else to do. But then my brain's wired and I'm not going to sleep. So I never slept in hotels. So a little change I made was bought a book. I know it sounds silly, you bought a book, but I bought a book with the view that I like James Bond. So it's like, that's my type of book. So I thought, I'll enjoy that, I'll read it. Yep. So then I thought, I'll find a series because then I'll read the whole thing. And I started off on book one with a series called Mitch Rapp by Vince Flynn, who I think is an amazing writer. And I've just finished them now, but it would stop me from working and it gave me something to look forward to. So when I say about Book of Success, if anybody reads my post, it's that reward for doing something different. So the reward for me was switching off from work, and that was reading the book. So instead of working till X o'clock at night, and it was quite late, I'll stop earlier and I'll read the book. And that just gives me the chance to basically calm the brain down. And I think sometimes with the phone on the train or wherever we would be, we end up utilizing every minute. And again, some advice I got given years and years ago. As a sales manager, you could be on the phone from like 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. and you're always literally active. And when you come home, you've got the emails to do. So the days were long. But what the big sales manager said to me, he said, James, when you're 10 minutes from home, where's 10 minutes from home? Is there a point, literally a landmark you pass every day 10 minutes from home? And those who know North Yorkshire will know that Richmond is just down from Scotch Corner. You come down from Scotch Corner, there's a bridge before you get into Skeeby. I think it's Skeeby. And then you carry on into Richmond. So that bridge was when I turned my phone off. Because I used to be going into the house like, I love you, like kids, give them a kiss on the head. Phone's here. And I'd still be on the phone. He says, at that point, at the bridge, you come off the phone and then you literally take the pressure off you, lift the pressure lid, pressure cooker lid, and just decompress. And that 10 minutes, when you're getting home, you are actually present with the family and not on the phone for the next 20. And I would say to people, literally my team, all right, I'm going to be 10 minutes away from the bridge. And they would understand what that meant. It's like, you are going to go. And that 10 minutes from home, that was my decompression time. And so I think there is that point where we all just need to step back, take a deep breath, say to the world, enough is enough. And you know, if you're on your phone or if you're at the meeting all day and you are the face all day, that's tiring. And you sort of give yourself that moment to say, I'm going to be out Monday, Wednesday, Friday this week. The only time I'm going to be doing is my admin is Tuesday, Thursday. So I'm going to put an out of office on my thing. And it's like saying, I'm out. And if you're on holiday, you wouldn't take your phone, would you? Would you? Hang on. Would you?
Maybe.
Is that a yes?
I think as someone, when you run your own business.
Yeah, maybe different.
I think it's a bit different. When I was employed jobs, no, I wouldn't.
No. Okay. If he's watching this, he'll know who he is. Many, many years ago, when we were talking about this in the sales team, one of my sales reps came back from Turkey and he said to me, we had a team meeting. We always do this thing called stop, start and continue. So every month we say, what are we going to stop doing? What are we doing that's causing us no benefit? So we're going to stop doing it. What are we doing that we're going to continue doing, which is giving us benefit? And what ideas have people got to start doing, which are going to benefit us? So stop, start, continue. And he came back, he said, I'm not very happy. And we hadn't got to stop talking. He said, well, what are you not happy about? He says, I went on holiday and the customers just kept ringing and ringing and ringing. One day I'm on the beach with the family and this customer rang me. One of my reps just turned around and said, stop taking the phone to the beach. And he just had nowhere to go. It's like, or get yourself a different SIM card when you're on holiday. Now, obviously we work for a big organization, so we could do that. But it's the case of he'd never thought about it. And he was just getting himself into a position of overwhelm because he felt he had to answer the phone. He's on the beach, therefore he's overwhelmed the fact that he's now having to work and think about work when really he was trying to switch off. And it's that, just take yourself out of the environment. The world will still keep going if we don't answer an email this afternoon. If we haven't done our tax returns by tomorrow, so it's a bit of a different one.
Yeah.
The world will keep spinning. And if you get back to them the next day or the day after, but if you've let them know with an out of office, that would help. And out of office was a great thing that I learned. It took me a lot of years to realize the value of it, but putting it on there, then you're not available.
Yeah, well, really, really interesting enough on that point. So literally last week, so I upgraded my phone to a new phone, but my old phone is still pretty fine, to be honest. So what I have done is my new phone, I've deleted all apps or anything that's related to work. So yep. It's got social stuff. I mean, there's obviously a little bit of overlap sometimes with things like WhatsApp. You can't really do much, but generally speaking, it's deleted. And what I do now is, it's a little bit of a pain because I have to carry two phones around with me during the day. But now, when I finish work, whatever time that might be, which generally for me, I'm pretty good at that, finishing before or after or around five. That other phone that's got my work email on, my CRM, my LinkedIn, etc., is just gone. I'll just turn it off. It's gone. And then same on weekends and things like that as well. So I've literally changed that last week. Taking a bit of getting used to it. But I'm determined to make that happen because it's still little things like we were talking before. I was away this weekend, went to do a little, take a picture of the family on my phone. The great thing was I had a phone and there's not that temptation to check my work email or to look at whatever it is, my CRM system, because it just wasn't there. You know, technology is great in terms of we only have to carry one thing around with us, where a few years ago we'd have carried 10 things when it's phones and everything like that. But I'm going to try and separate them too. So maybe we'll do this again in a few months and I'll kind of update you to where I am and see how much that's helped, because it felt better this weekend anyway, as a starting point.
And I hope you're giving yourself the credit for doing that.
Yeah, I'll give myself a high five for doing that.
High five. High five's okay. That's fine. I mean, what I talk a lot about is that when you do something well, if you do something wrong and you beat yourself up, give yourself the same credit and the reward. And it's really important to reward yourself for doing something good. And I don't mean going out and buying something silly. It's that little thing. So like if you go for a walk and you get to the top of the hill and then you just walk straight back down the hill, take 2 minutes and look over the hill and just enjoy the view. So like you were saying before, it's like you enjoyed your weekend away this weekend, which is brilliant. And it's those sort of moments which you can then draw on in the future. And this is why I talk about Book of Success, because Book of Success stories, we're all visual, auditory, or kinesthetic, and we have a preference. So if you're a visual person and you like to work on photographs, I love going back over my phone and thinking back to 24th of February 2013, my 39th birthday. I was at Wembley Stadium. Bradford City lost 5-0 in the Carabao Cup final, but that was a fantastic day out. So whenever I look at that picture, it always gives me joy because it was a great day out. And you look through to different days and different places, so pictures work really well for me. But if you're a writer and you like to write a journal, that's cool as well. If you like to record messages and just record them and say, today's been fantastic, because when we have the down days, we can draw back on those type of things. But that's where the credit is. And, you know, if it's a case, if you have a really great week, why not treat yourself to a bottle of wine or a takeaway or whatever it is, because you've deserved it. But equally, when things go wrong, boy, oh boy, do we beat ourselves up and say, I'm rubbish, I'm this, that, and the other. So try and level that seesaw. Be your best, be a better fan of yourself. And you've switched the phone off. That's a huge thing, because I'm sure that if you'd been at the football 2 weeks ago with that phone, you might not have been 100% present as all the time as you would have been without having that phone. So it's giving yourself the credit for that. And, you know, I don't know if there was a, when you finally opened the phone this morning, was there something in there which you'd have gone, oh, I'd have had to do that on Sunday or Saturday if you'd been in the old system?
I mean, luckily there was nothing particular but what the amazing thing is, I had like, I don't know, it was about 30 odd, maybe in 40 emails, unread emails that come in from 4 o'clock Friday or whatever until Monday morning. I think all bar two I deleted without even reading by looking at them. So yeah. I know that had taken 30 seconds every now and again over the weekend. I'd have just deleted them as they come in. Whereas it took me 30 seconds to do this morning to pretty much go white, gone. And that was it. So rather than 10, 15 seconds, 20 times over the weekend, it was 30 seconds once this morning. That's good. I think that's great. I mean, before we kind of finish and I can go get a Chinese and get drunk, is there any, you've already given lots of fantastic tips and for people to kind of, and for me as well, some really good stuff actually. Is there anything else that you think for anyone who's kind of suffering?
There's one other thing I would say to look at. And if anybody wants a copy, I have a digital copy, but you can Google this. And my copy's free. They're free on Google as well. It's called The Wheel of Life. And it was fantastic for me about 4 years ago when I really found myself in a difficult position and overwhelmed was where it was. And what The Wheel of Life does is it's 8 sections. And you can change the titles as you wish, but that's why I say look on Google. But so if you want a digital copy, I'll send you it. But it gets you to sort of assess where you are now and where you want to be against those sections. It gets you to prioritize those sections. So when I said earlier about doing the not to-do list, it's quite easy to, it's almost like a flippant line. Oh yeah, have a to-do list. But when you actually prioritize your top three things, it's amazing how you can actually start to give yourself those signals. So when you start feeling overwhelmed and say, mine's in the shoulders, and when I start looking at my wheel, I can actually start to say, that's on my not to-do list. I'm not going to do that. So like you've just given a perfect example there, I'm not going to answer emails when I'm away with the family, because my family time is really important. I work really hard. My family time is important. So I'm not going to answer emails when I'm away. And it may be I'm not going to work in a hotel after 10 o'clock at night. I'm going to read my book. But it's those little signals for you. And I know there's a lot of people will talk about habit stacking, and I love habit stacking, and that's been talked about on your podcast before. But habit stacking is really cool. If it gets to working away from hotel, I've got my book. My book's always in my suitcase. So it's not as I can forget it, because I don't read that book at home. It's a treat to look forward to at the end of the day. I've worked hard. I've got to the end of the day, I've linked the habit of being away to the book, and the book stays in the suitcase. It's a bit like if you want to go to the gym, keep your gym kit in the car, because then you've got a chance of going. If you don't keep the gym kit in the car, it's pretty embarrassing when you get there and go, I'm going to go today, and you get there and you've forgotten it. So you've got that as well. So it's for me, have a look at the wheel of life, pick out your top three areas which you're going to focus on. And that helps with your Eisenhower's matrix. It helps with your not to do list as well. So that would be my last tip.
That's amazing, James. And you made me smile when you said about the gym, because one thing I do is when I've been to the gym, I get home, I will take all the stuff out, obviously put it in the wash, and I'll repack my gym bag, and it's back in the boot of my car. So no excuses. It's something I've done for, gosh, must be 20 years of doing that. And it's just normal for me now. Mm. So it's amazing, you know, that's obviously a long time to do things, so that's great.
Simple habit, though. You started off as a habit and it's now second nature, and that's what habits become, isn't it? It becomes second nature. And you know, if anybody's looking up for a simple thing, very quick video, you can go onto YouTube. He's called BJ Fogg. He talks about habit stacking and how he introduced habit stacking. And I think it's a great very short video. I mean, some long ones, but he's great to listen to. Atomic Habits is another one, but that's a longer book. Yeah. But lots of stuff out there for that sort of stuff. But hopefully that will help. If you're feeling overwhelmed, speak to somebody and make sure, I say, change your environment and give yourself something, somewhere else to go.
That's perfect. Like I said, thank you so much. I mean, I think I could have gone forever talking about this, because I think it's really interesting and really helpful. But probably to finish, if anyone wants to find out a bit more about you, James, and contact you, where's the best places to go?
Best place to go to the Northern Affinity Directory. I'm in there, I think, now that I'm a member.
I'm sure you're there somewhere.
I'm sure I'm there somewhere. Or alternatively, find me on LinkedIn, or you can find me on the website, jameshallcoaching.co.uk.
Thank you very much, Jen. Like I said, a really fascinating conversation. So, and I've just, yeah, so thank you.
No problem. You
probably noticed I was noting all sorts down. So, speaking of overwhelmed, my to-do list has now got longer after our discussion about not being overwhelmed. I think there's kind of a paradox a bit there, but anyway.
You'll work out what's important, and you'll work out what you can delegate. And if you can delete apps, you can delete emails. I'm sure there's stuff you can delete as well.
Perfect. So thank you very much, James, for your time.
No problem at all. Thanks for having me.
I hope you enjoyed this chat today, and like me, you learned something new from our wonderful expert. So if you'd like to hear from more of our sessions, please subscribe on whatever platform that you get your podcast from to hear more. And also, we'd love to meet you at some point at one of our upcoming events. The Northern Affinity hold events all across the north of England, and we'd love to meet new people and have guests along. So please come along and check out our website or all the details in the show notes. Thank you very much for listening, and see you